we're just so thankful, Father God, for what you do for us. We're so thankful that we can come here and have a place of worship and a place of prayer, a house of prayer, Lord, where we can come with brothers and sisters and we can grow together. We can love each other, Lord, and we can be taught. We pray, Lord, that you just prepared this message and that through the Holy Spirit that we will receive this message, Lord, and we can take it out into the world, because that is that's where we need to be, out in the den, Lord, where it's just so dark. It's, it just seems the world is that way today. We thank you, Father God, for everything you do. We thank you for the worship team. We thank you for everyone that comes here and does the slides and does the sound and works the security team and sets the stuff up, Lord. We have so many people that we're so grateful for, you know, that come here and help and prepare this place, Lord, so that we can learn. And we thank you, Father God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Tony said, hey, man, can you teach for me Wednesday? And I asked him if he wanted me to keep going in the series he was on. He's like, no, whatever's on your heart. So I was like, well, cool. As Christians, sometimes it's really good just go back to visit basics, right? Basics of our walk, basics of the Bible. What should we focus on, you know? And today we're facing unprecedented times, right? We see this. We talk about it a lot on Sunday night. A lot of hate, a lot of anger, a lot of religion, you know, going out there, division in politics. And, you know, even in our own country, right, we got the left and the right. The pendulum has swung so far, there's really no middle anymore. So as Christians, it's like, how do we make sense of that? And I know I have a lot of Christians and brothers that were like, man, I don't understand. I don't know. And maybe God doesn't want us to understand. Maybe we're not to make sense of it. Maybe we're just supposed to, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to just battle on, right? We're supposed to just keep moving forward and stand strong in our faith. So I want today to remember that we live in a fallen world, right? And sometimes we say, man, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand what's happening to my brother or sister. But we live in a fallen world, and it's ran by Satan himself. We know that, right? The more we dig in, we know that Satan has a huge grip, right, in Hollywood, in our country, in our politics. And the crazy thing is that he's the father of lies. And we sit here and we a lot of times, even as Christians, I talked to some friends the other day and we just kind of dwell on that, you know, and it's like, hey, our life here is only temporary. You know, we got to get past all that. We got to get past the confusion and all that. And John, we're going to start John 8:44. I know a lot of you guys take notes on Wednesdays and stuff. And John 8:44, just a reminder that it talks about the father of lies, right? He says, you are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks lies. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. That's Satan, right? That's the god of this world. That's so much stuff going out there, right? And so we don't dwell on that. We got to dwell on what's important for us as Christians, right? 1 Peter 5:8, he tells us, be sober, right? Which is well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, right? Fiercely hungry, seeking whom he can devour. Or some, you know, translations say, seeking whom he can destroy. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion of Christ. So how do we guard ourselves against these attacks, right? Because they seem to be coming more and more. And as we do our Bible study on Sundays and nights, if you guys come, we're digging deep into, you know, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, now 2 Thessalonians. And we look at this stuff's been going on since the beginning of time. It's not new. The stuff that we're facing right now, it's not new. It was the same thing. The devices of delivering is new, right? Because we have AI stuff and we have internet. But it was the same things, man. They had fake letters and fake teachers and false prophets and stuff from the beginning of time. So it's not new. So how do we guard ourselves? We guard ourselves by prayer, right? We got to have a good, strong prayer life. So for those of you guys that are taking notes, if you are, we're going to go under 12. We got 12 key underlining essentials that we'll highlight on why prayer should be a major part of your life and why it's so important, okay? And then after, like I said, after we pray, we're going to open the floor up. If you guys got, you know, something that you're hurting about, something that's, you know, you got some hurt or some maybe you're joyful for, maybe God did something great in your life and you want to share that, you know, because we want to hear about those things, you know, too. We want to be built up and see how God's, you know, done things in other Christian brothers and sisters' lives, right? So we just want to have a special night. We used to do this. I know Pastor Bill's done this before, and at our Calvary Church in California, we used to do this and just do a Wednesday night where we can come together as brothers and sisters and pray, man, and pray for each other, you know, because that's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to build each other. And so we're gonna stand strong. We're going to do that by getting a strong prayer life. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense," right? To give an account. Some versions say, you know, to give an account, say everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. Why do you have hope? Why do we have hope as Christians, right? We have hope because we've been given life eternal, right? We serve a living God. We serve a Savior, you know, and so we have hope. And we gotta realize that if we got a good, strong prayer life and we can sit there and pray with each other and for strangers and people out there, you know, we got to be able to stand and give an account for the hope that's within us, right? Peter talks about that over and over. And this world, it's looking for hope. I mean, we are looking. I mean, you see it's out there, man. This world is starving for a Savior, starving for hope. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is giving the word and being the light, right? So the first essential we'll go over is God's word calls us to pray. Why is prayer so important? Because God's word calls us to pray. Right? One key reason to pray is because God has commanded us to pray. If we are to be obedient to his will, we got to be in prayer, right? We got to have a good, strong prayer life. And the Bible calls us to prayer several different passages. Matthew 5:44, right? Pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, he says, do not be like the hypocrites, right? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their words and many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So like tonight when we pray, it's not going to be about babbling and like, oh man, I got the man. You know, my wife's got had the best prayer tonight. Ooh, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about opening our heart, right? Being, you know, obedient to God, obedient to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? And then when he tells us, he says, and this is how you should pray, right? In verse 9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? You guys know this prayer. It's simple. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we've have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So simple prayer, right? Simple. But that's what God, we're commanded to pray. We see that in Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray, right? He tells us in there, Romans 12:12. It says, be joyful in hope, patience, and affliction, and be faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Right? Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, we don't realize, like, I see what's going on in the world today, man, and like, today I woke up and I hurt my shoulder, right? My shoulder's in pain. We had a water leak at the house and my truck's got a leak. I got something going on. I'm like, man, what is going on? And I'm like, I just sat down. I was like, Lord, thank you, man. We're still, you look at all this stuff, right, going on. So we're still so many things to be thankful for. We have a house. We got transportation. We got food. You know, we got electricity. We got heat. We got hot water. You know, we got still so much to be thankful for. And that really, you know, hit me today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually, right? Pray continually. 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I urge then first of all the requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Prayer is an act of obedience. God calls us to pray. So we got to respond. We got to respond by having a good prayer life, a good relationship. So essential number two, Jesus prayed regularly, right? We know that. We see that a lot. And I was preparing the study, man. I was like, man, he really did pray. Like, you go through the scripture, like, he spent a lot of time praying. And I was like, I need to spend more time praying, because it seems like that's what he did all the time. Why did Jesus pray? One reason he prayed was it was an example that we could learn from him, right? Teachers teach, and they lead, right, by example, right? Because if you got a pastor that's not in the Word of God, then you're going to know, well, this pastor is not really in the Word of God. You'll know that right away. But Jesus prayed, right, all the time. Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Matthew 26:36 says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We got Luke 6:12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying. Have any of you ever done that, spent the night praying, like all night long? I have prayed a lot where I actually fell asleep, you know, it's like, I woke up. And I was like, you know, one of my friends said, you know, I think God, he doesn't care if you fall asleep, man. You were in tune praying, right? He's like, I bet you he probably appreciated that. But I've never gone through the whole night. I've never gone through the whole night praying. I don't know if you guys have, but Jesus did, right? Luke 18:1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Do you guys know the parable of the persistent widow? Luke 18:1? Yeah? So it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Kind of sounds like today. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come back and attack me. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones? Chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. He will keep putting them off. I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And quickly, however, when the Son of Man comes, we will find faith on the earth. Will we find him? So, this lady was persistent, right? This widow, persistent. This guy, he was a judge. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't fear God. But he's like, man, this lady will not stop. I'm going to give her what she's asking for, right? I'm going to give her justice. How much more does God, you know, love us? We're his children, right? So the third essential is prayer is how we communicate with God, right? Prayer allows us to worship, allows us to praise him, praise the Lord. It also is to offer confession of our sins, right? It's a communication which leads leads to a genuine repentance. You guys all know 1 John 1:9, right? Anyone? Yes. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, right, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not from just one thing, all of it. Right? So we have that. That's our communication with God. Moreover, prayer grants us the opportunity to present our request to God, right? We have requests. That's okay. You can bring those to God. All these aspects of prayer involve communication with our Creator. I mean, he personally cares for us. Isn't that crazy? Like, you look at, like, this is a creator of the universe, and he wants to commune with us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And Isaiah 40, it was 29 through 31. He says, he gives strength to the weary, right? You guys all know this one. And increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint, right? Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne in grace and confidence, right? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, Jesus was tempted, man. He faced the same temptations that we face every day. And, you know, sometimes we don't, you know, I don't look at it sometimes, I'm just like, you know, it was thousands of years ago, you know, but he faced the same temptations, the same sin, the same prostitutes, the same, you know, we have prostitution and, you know, all the pornography issues we have and all the AI stuff and all the social media stuff. It was the same. It was just different delivery, you know. Jesus knows everything we're going through right now. He knows every sin that we're going to face because he faced them. So prayer is not just about asking God for blessings, though we're welcome to do so, but it's also about communicating to the living God, right? You know, communication, if you don't communicate in your relationship, right, what happens with your relationship with your husband or your wife? You know, nosedives, right? Same thing in our Christian walk. If we're not communicating with God, you know, we're going to struggle. We're going to have a hard time with our relationship. So if we don't communicate with him, we're not praying with him, don't have a good prayer life, our relationship with him will suffer. So our fourth essential is prayer allows us to participate in God's works too, right? God does not need our help. He doesn't need us. But he is all powerful and in control of everything, his creation. So why do we need to pray? Because prayer is a means God has ordained, right, for some things to happen in our lives. So prayer, for instance, helps others know the love of Jesus, right? We pray, people are like, what's, you're different, right? Right? You see you praying, and now they at work, they don't want you to do that. They want you to do it at school. They want you to kind of get upset. Now I saw in England, they were arresting a lady for praying silently. It was at an abortion clinic, and they have a new law now that you can't stand within so many feet of a building and pray silently to yourself, or you'll get arrested. Yeah, that's how crazy it's getting. It's crazy. But the cool thing is that we, you know, our prayer is heard by God, right? Because he's a living God. Our God, he's not an idol, right? He's not wood. He's not an idol of paper. Because what is an idol? An idol has ears, but it doesn't hear, right? It has eyes, but it doesn't see. It has a mouth, it doesn't speak. But we serve the living God, right? The creator of the universe. So a fifth essential is prayer gives us power over evil. That I can confess to that. Can physical strength help us overcome obstacles and challenges in the spiritual realm? No, not really, right? If you're physically strong, right, we work out so we can, you know, physically be stronger and healthier, but that doesn't do anything for us in our spiritual, you know, spiritual life. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the darkness, right? Against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6:12. But in prayer, and even the physical weak, right? You're physically weak, but in prayer, man, you can become so strong, right? As such, we can call upon God to grant us power over evil. But I, you know, I've seen some small Christian women that are elderly, and they're just prayer warriors, man, prayer warriors. You know, it's like you see them like, man, that's someone that's spiritually strong. You know, that's awesome to see. But prayer gives us power over evil. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Right? And we know that. We experience that every day with my wife every once a month because of her curse from Eve. So we know that the body's weak, right? So I get that curse every month. I'm cursed with it too. So essential number six, prayer is always available, right? That's what's so great. Prayer is always available. You don't have to set an appointment. You don't have to send out an email. You don't have to schedule anything. Prayer is always available all the time, no matter what. Nothing can keep us from approaching God in prayer, except on our own choices, right? God's always there. And nothing can separate us from that, right? You're a believer. You have given your life to Christ, man. You're not going to be separated. We know that. Psalms 139:7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Jesus which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's always available, right? It's always available to have that relationship. Seventh essential is prayer keeps us humble before God, right? That's one thing that I had to learn the hard way a lot of times. Humility is a virtue that God desires in all of us. We see that in Proverbs 11:2. But prayer reminds us that we're not in control, but God is keeping us humble, right? Keeping our pride down. That's something I've struggled with a lot in my life, pride and humility. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So staying humble is something we should all strive to achieve. We can do that with a great prayer life. Staying in prayer daily, it really helps keep us grounded. I know when I slip a little bit and I'm not spending all that time, man, I know, like, oh, I got to get in prayer, man. This world, man, it's tough. It comes hitting you and it will knock you down. The eighth essential, prayer grants us the privilege of experiencing God. That's something that I love, man. Through prayer, we obtain an experiential basis for our faith, right? We get to experience God. Prayer makes our experience of God real, and it's on an emotional level, right? That's why sometimes, man, you just sit there and, like, get emotional when you pray. I know I do. What do you think it means for God, right? So Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighted the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance? The creator in the universe holds everything in the span of his hand. I mean, that's crazy. Can you hold your hand up? Hold your hand up. How big's your hand? Right? I mean, you can maybe grab a remote control. You know, maybe a Bible, iPad. God's hand, he holds the whole entire universe in the span of his hand. That's crazy. And he wants to spend time with us. And he wants to be with us. And we get that by spending time in prayer. When I was going through this, I said, you know, how many of you guys have kids? How many of you guys have kids in here? How many of you guys have parents? Parents still? Yeah, parents? So I was looking at, you know, it was crazy because my son went off to college, and when he would call, because, you know, he wouldn't answer texts, he was always busy. So when he'd call, I'd be like, oh, what's up, man? What do you need? You know, like, what do you need? You know, or my mom calls, right? And it's like, oh, man, my mom's calling because she's, you know, like, what does my mom need now? You know? But what is it like when your kid calls? And it's like, man, I miss you, Dad. I miss you, Mom. I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to talk to you. How cool is that? You know, how does that make you feel? Your sister or your brother, maybe like a really good friend from church that you grew up with, it's like family. And they call you like, man, I miss you. I miss your voice. I miss spending time with you. How does that make you feel? You know, isn't it awesome? You just have that whole, I feel appreciated. I love it. So how do you think God feels, man, when you spend time, when you get home, don't turn on the TV, right? Maybe you get home, you set down your phone, and we don't get on all the social media and the news, or maybe we pull the car over, and we just, man, God, I love you. You know, we just sit down, and we really get into that time of prayer with God. You know, I look at it like, I bet you, you know, because it made me feel good when my son would call and be like, Dad, I just miss you, Mom. I just want to see how it's going. You know, I love you guys. Like, man, what is he learning in college? You know, what do you want? How much money do you want? You know, you even just said you something. No, Dad, I just love you. You know, it's awesome. And that's what God wants. You know, that's how I look at it. Like, God wants that from us, right? He longs for that, and he wants that. Ninth essential, answered prayer is a potential witness, right? You guys ever experienced that where, you know, an answered prayer can be a witness to somebody else or maybe to somebody around you that's struggling? Anyone have an example of what, like, an answered prayer? Somebody had something that was like, this was 100% a God thing. Anyone want to share anything that's happened with? Go ahead.
And I was able to send a text off to Buzz, and Yeah.
But since I'm in this part of Arizona, you feel alone sometimes when you face something like that.
Absolutely. Exactly, yeah.
And that feeling of loneliness or being cut off or helplessness, all that stuff together, that's one of the ways the enemy can get you.
Absolutely, yeah. That's awesome. You got something? No?
Well, I was going to say that, yeah, I was talking about Terry earlier, too, and we kind of treat it lightly sometimes with crazy reports and testimonies to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it is a big deal because God's testimony to what His word is, it just proves that it's true.
Yeah.
And we have to settle that in our hearts and our minds that, yeah, if we pray about something that's really on our heart and mind, and we really do have a need, a specific need that can be met through prayer, we need to pray about it.
Yeah.
Because God can bring it to pass. And we need to have the faith and the trust to believe that.
Absolutely.
So, no matter what, we just keep going on.
Yeah. It's great too, right? We want to know, man. If you had something going on, man, and you're like, man, God healed me. God healed my sister, my family. This happened, you know. We should know about that. Let the church know, you know. Let them know so we can send, hopefully, you know, emails that are actually accurate. But, you know, like, hey, this God bless, man, he did this. It was awesome, you know. It won't be one of these urgent messages, you know. Hey, from Tony, just wanted to, you know, like what some of us got. But, yeah, no, it's awesome, man. We want to continue doing that. Because answered prayer is a potential witness for us to teach people about Jesus, to share the love. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, like what you're talking about is our prayer life. It begins the moment we wake up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a devotion. It's a devoted time.
Absolutely.
And if you're married with your spouse, you commit that time and you go through your prayers of devotion that way through Scripture and pray about things that are upcoming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Quiet time.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
We get to find out more about Him and ourselves. So
absolutely.
We have to get moving.
So, yeah, so being a potential witness, right? And then our 10th essential, prayer strengthens the bonds between believers. I agree with this 100%. Prayer not only strengthens our relationship with God, right? But it's also, you know, when we pray with other believers, it strengthens the bonds between us, right? Other Christians. We see that in Proverbs 27:17. You all know this. As iron sharpens iron, so a man, you know, sharpens the countenance of his friend. And what is countenance? Countenance, right? That's our character. Countenance is character. When we pray together, when we come to church together, when we have needs and we help each other, right? That sharpens our character, man. That's sharpening each other. You know, so it's important, man, that we spend a lot of time and we strengthen each other. We strengthen our bonds with each other. So the 11th essential, prayer can succeed where other means have failed, right? Have all your options been exhausted, right? You ever got to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just done. I'm so exhausted. Prayer can succeed where other means fail, but it shouldn't be our last resort. Prayer should never be our last resort, right? Prayer should always be our first response, you know? A lot of times I know we get so desperate and it's like, man, it's our, oh man, I'm just on my end. I'm just at my last wit's end here, you know? But no, it should be our first response, man. Like I know like when Eric and I, we're doing our Crown Finance and all that, learning about budgeting and stuff like that, you know, before we bought a car, we prayed about it. You know, before we went and did anything, we prayed about. Before we bought a house, we prayed about. You know, you do those things. You bring those things to prayer, so you make sure that you're committed and doing things right before, you know, you get to it like, oh, crap, I screwed up. Now it's last resort. But 12, right, our 12th essential is prayer fulfills emotional needs. Do we need God through prayer? Yes. We were made to function best emotionally. C.S. Lewis put this. It was really good. I love what C.S. Lewis says about this. God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn on, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other, right? So that's why it's so important. So the worship team's going to come back up here, and we're gonna sing some songs. We're going to worship a little. If you guys have some prayer, Anthony's going to be up here to pray. If you guys want to pray about something, man, or you have something you need prayer about, like come see me. I'll pray with you. I thought Buzz, oh, no Buzz. And then Bill, and then afterwards, when we're done, if you need some prayer and you want to stay afterwards, like, we'll pray with you. You know, if you got something that you want, you need a prayer about, or you want something on your heart, just let us know. They're going to come up here. We're going to worship and pray.